If I'm trying to think like a scientist when designing a pedal, you want to have as many controls as possible. One of those controls is the sound of the guitar that you're using. I got into the NYXLs. They last longer, they work better, and they stay in tune for longer. Just a lot of things that make my life easier.
Sorry for the interruption, but if you could just take one moment to like and subscribe, we can continue bringing you the most fun guitar content on the planet Earth.
Please, and thank you.
Thank you. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Brooklyn Bowl today with Poison the Well. So excited about this one. On tour for their seminal reunion of one of my favorite records of all time, man. This is awesome. This is so
fun.
Yeah,
no, same for me.
Dude. Ryan, great to see you.
I'm an avid subscriber.
Oh, well, thanks for watching. Keeps us employed. We like that. We like that a lot.
I like the magazine, too.
Oh, thanks for reading. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize we are a magazine, but you can subscribe to that.
I got the magazine. I got the app, you know.
Oh, you're all
world-class dork.
Well, all right, let's talk about guitars. I've seen you play Les Pauls, but recently Tellys.
Yeah, I haven't owned a Les Paul since 2009. Well, we had a robbery on tour, and I had this Les Paul, a 78 Artisan, that I was absolutely obsessed with.
Is that like Norlin era, the pancake bodies?
Yeah, right? It was an odd non-pancake.
Oh, really?
Though, but it was a five-piece neck and all that other stuff. But before I had played Les Pauls, I'd always played Tellys, and we had our trailer broken into in a previous time. So when that Telly got stolen, because it was like really near and dear to my heart, it came from a really special place. I kind of just didn't want any other Tellys, and then after the Les Pauls got stolen, I was like, well, I'll go back to my old friend Telly.
Yeah.
And now I own 9 of them.
That's funny.
So
but this is, you pretty much play the whole show on this one.
Yes, right? Correct.
Okay, have you modified it at all? Because it looks like that
Duncan made me a JB, but in a single coil size, and then it's the bridge staggered quarter pounder.
Oh, okay.
I don't particularly buy neck pickups, buy the bridge one and move it around. I rip out all the electronics, Gibson toggle switch in the back, flip the plate because I have a Danny Gatton obsession, and just one crappy steel knob.
Love that. All gas, no brakes. Let's go.
I added a string tree for string noise with some little foam.
Yeah. Keep it quiet.
A lot of the songs on this are really tight, so I want to try to keep sound down.
Before I got up close, I'm like, how the fuck is he getting such high gain with that Telecaster? But okay, that explains the situation. Yeah. That's a fun little trick.
Yeah.
I love... you know, I grew up playing Gibsons, but when I played my first Fender, got my first Fender, I'm like, oh, wow, this feels so different because of the scaling. Is that something?
Yeah, I actually grew to really like the tension. I was using 11 to 54 on the last time I had a Les Paul.
Manly.
And I use 11 through 50 on these, but it's tuned down a step. But the thing that took me the longest to get used to was not having a 12-inch radius fingerboard. So, but 9.5 is fine.
Yeah.
I'm way used to it now.
got it dialed in.
One of them over there actually has an aftermarket neck with a 12-inch, and I actually didn't like it. I was like, oh, it's weird. Not that it's a bad neck. It's awesome. It's the one I would play second, but I just got really used to this neck.
Ah, so those only come out if something were to go.
I broke a string the other day, and the first time in like 12 years, and I had to grab it. But yeah, I just... stick with the one the whole time.
Gotcha. And while we're talking strings, what strings do you use?
Ernie Ball, 11 through 50. I use the cool James Hetfield set.
Ah.
You know, Papa Hetz, something or other. Thanks, Tim, at Ernie Ball for that.
Right on, man. All right, well, I guess we'll show some photos of your other guitars, but since this one's getting it done, you got two killer amps.
Yeah, I really do love them. That's an older Bad Cat 50-watt, and then an Archon. This sort of covers your 6L6 land, and then that's the EL34 land, trying to put the two together to make a sensible combo. This is a Friedman cabinet, but my friend Jesse always calls me Donkey, so I changed the badge.
That's funny.
And it's cool because it's got vintage 30s in the bottom and 25s in the top. So I end up sticking with the 30 for the mic, but it's kind of cool. I hear the 25. And then just a regular orange PPC 412.
Yeah. Man, I've been really impressed with the Archons.
It's
kind of a slept on amp.
Like, people... I used it for the first time while we were recording some new music with Will from Better Lovers. I like went home and bought one. I really enjoy them. There, you could still hear notes. They're still, still get the chord, and it's articulate, but you get pretty high gain.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite thing about that amp. It's like, it will rip your balls off. you know what I mean? It's like a very refined 5150 or something.
Correct. Yeah. And I felt like it was giving me what my ear wants to hear, but some of what a 5150 will give you.
Sure. Now, the Bad Cat.
I've always really liked it, and I've always kind of gravitated towards Marshall Master Volumes. It's pretty open sound. The thing that I do like the Bad Cat over it is it keeps things really tight with some natural good compression. But yeah, I haven't. Right. It really fills a lot of boxes for me in that sense.
So they're both running at all times, right?
Yeah. And I don't use any of the channels, like the clean channels,
switching.
All zero.
Doing everything with pedals then?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, let's take a look over here. What do we got?
So I don't know if you've heard this company, Saturn Works. They make a bunch of utility stuff. So it's just like a four loop thing. These are all just volume knobs. Like there's 500K pot in the pedal. So, right?
Uh-huh. And
then. I've never used the channels on amps. So I've always just turned the volume down, and this was a faster way to do it. And then this one is a 500K pot with a treble bleed. And that's kind of to get in between stuff. Let me turn all this bullshit off.
Gnarly.
So you end up kind of retaining your normal thing,
sure,
but just a little pulled back. So for some accordier stuff, it helps. It's in a loop with a carbon copy and this Solid Gold Effect Surf Rider, which is a really cool reverb.
It's a verb, huh?
If you've never messed with their stuff. And then this really cool $99 JHS harmonic tremolo, which is pretty rad.
It's subtle, but yeah. it's definitely there. A big old Phase 100.
Yeah, that's like a fake Leslie.
That's a fun modulation.
When
thing,
I
for sure.
want to have a fake Univibe. And then that stuff's not in the loop. This is... my friend Scott Gaylor would always say, sometimes you just need your confidence. And he always has a sparkle drive, but this, like if you're really having a tough time, put that on and it covers your mistakes and you feel better about yourself.
Gives you a little wiggle room, right?
I normally don't have reverb or anything on. This one for me is if the stage is real boomy. I'll turn that on and it'll give you a little extra gain because it's just a little bit of extra input gain and make me feel like I'm more forceful than I am.
And this close to some air moving, you actually
Correct.
Yeah.
And then a noise gate.
The Zool is a good one.
That's the only one I've ever used that I've liked.
They're kind of tricky.
It's my first noise gate.
Really? Ever?
I mean, maybe in the 90s I had a Boss noise suppressor
that
I didn't know how to set well and was horrible. And then the second I stopped playing, it chopped it off and I was mad. But
yeah,
it's the first one I've really liked because you can keep the fuzz outside of, you know.
I guess I've always played kind of shitty amps, so I've always needed a noise gate.
This one's really great. Yeah. You can set a lot of it so the chords can hang on.
Get a little sustain out of it for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I keep the action a little higher so that it doesn't really engage for a while.
That's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then there's another loop with a DM2, which I find I use this to just make noise between songs. And then the Rubberneck, which is just set up for like a pretty standard analog delay.
Yeah. Man, that, what is that, Saturn Works? That's a fun little switcher, man.
Yeah, it's cool, and you can take the whole thing out of it too. So it's like a master bypass.
So you can remove everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's killer.
Yeah, they're great. And they're like really responsive. And I like would write them, I'm like, what if we did this? And they're like, yeah, we'll make it for you if you pay for it. And I'm like, all right, yeah, it's fine, of course. And I love that fuzz, that Caroline Hawaiian pizza.
Are you using that quite often?
I use it on two songs, so but it's pretty pizza. Unruly.
You know what's funny? I've always had like a strange aversion to fuzz until Will, because we did an end rig rundown with him, and he showed me this trick with a swollen pickle, like on top of an already brutal tone.
Right. Yeah.
Throw that fucking thing on for a breakdown, and it's like, oh god.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all kind of blooming.
Yeah. It's funny because it takes the zip of distortion, it just kind of makes it matter or something.
I think it just widens the field of sound you hear.
Fills it out a lot.
I ended up using it a lot for single note lines and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely gives it some teeth. I like
that. Yeah, it's woolly.
Before I let you go, how are you using effects loops, or how are you routing this to your amps?
So that goes in through the tuner and into anything that's kind of dirty, except for the phase 100 is always in line. Then it goes to the loop switcher, and then like this volume knob and that reverb are in the first loop, second volume knob, carbon copy, surf rider, and the harmonic tremolo are in the second loop. The third loop is just the DM2, and the fourth loop is the rubberneck to try to keep cable length shorter.
Sure,
and then
sure.
It goes out to a radial AB, and then everything's on all at the same time. So technically everything hits the front end of the amp, both amps at the same time. I'm scared of technology. I mean, I know there's lots of things you can use, but this makes sense to me, and I could troubleshoot it when I inevitably break it, which is usually what I think about first when I have to go play shows. Like, how am I going to fix it if it goes wrong? Do I understand this? So
kind of
I understand
you
this.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's a good question, because, you know, especially heavy bands, a lot of times we show up these days and people are running modelers. Mm-hmm. Is that something that was considered for you guys? Are you married to amps, or is that just something you've never kind of dug into?
I've messed with them quite a bit in different situations. I think for this band and just what I need to do with this, I really like amplifiers. I like the air.
Sure.
I'm not on in-ears either, so I kind of need some stage volume. And also, I lack courage when it comes to equipment. Like, this makes sense to me, and this, you know, is simple. Like, everything kind of just does a thing, and that's the thing it does. And then if you want it to do something different, either get something different or play differently to make it do something different. And then that's kind of like my philosophy with it. It's all really simple stuff. I think the slow is probably the most complicated thing that I have here, and I only understand half its functions, but most of the music at its core is pretty simple, right? It's nothing flashy or anything like that. And I don't know, I think I just wanted to keep everything simple so I would understand everything.
Well, it's working. It sounds phenomenal, man. It sounds really, really good.
Oh, thanks.
Well, hey, thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Not only doing this, but this reunion tour is so sick. I'm so excited for tonight. I guess we're gonna go talk to Vadim.
Great, have fun.
All right, guys, now we're with Vadim. A good friend of mine for a long, long time. Great to see you.
Great to see you too.
Yeah, man. How's it going? How's this been?
It's been a lot of fun, man. This is the biggest tour I've ever been on.
What?
And it's pretty crazy.
I mean, you played in some pretty rad bands. If you guys aren't familiar, the Stay Forward, Life Once Lost, if you're old enough to remember, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been around doing this for a minute, bud.
Yeah.
I gotta ask, like, getting ready for this tour, especially, like, how fun was it? Like, did it all like immediately come back? Just like, because obviously, I'm sure you listen to this record as much as I did when we were young, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. We did some Opposite of December shows in 2020, so there was supposed to be a 20th anniversary, so they were somewhat familiar.
And then the pandemic.
And then most of them we had kept in the set, so it was only just a few of them that I had to go back, and I'm one of those nerds that recorded myself playing all of the songs so that I remember how to play them afterwards, and it paid off. I was like, oh.
I have to do that too.
Yeah.
I'd like watch myself back.
I wrote out tablature for myself and everything too. Total nerd.
So did you build this rig for this gig, or is this something that stuff that you've just always had and been playing for a long time?
Most of the stuff I'm a creature of habit, so it's just stuff I'm used to. I did add a few new pedals. I met Dunlop MXR rep at Riot Fest, and Mitch, and he suggested a couple things. I had a band member suggest a couple things. Ryan got the carbon copy, So I've got that for a delay on top of the Walrus, the ARP87-2 delay, which I have. And then this Ambient Echo is really cool. It's just a really nice texture pedal. So,
oh, the Joshua is a great pedal.
Yeah, it's really nice. And it's a pedal I wasn't familiar with at all. I just watched a demo. And so, again, just, you know, for certain parts of the set where it works. That's and then good. The rest of the, you know, just simple chorus, simple phaser, simple tremolo. Just sure. I don't do anything too bizarre.
Well, so. And, you know, most of the December stuff is pretty straightforward. Yeah. You know, there's not a ton of modulation happening on that record.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool. We'll dive back into this in a second. You're playing mainly this Telecaster, right? This
yeah.
is kind of your number one.
Yeah.
Tell me about this. This looks like a fancy one.
You know, it's not too old. I got this in the early 2000s, and it's sort of just been kind of my go-to guitar. Ryan had recommended to swap out the Seymour Duncans because that's something that he uses, and sure. it's a little bit of like a better tone for the Poison Well, for the more chuggy
sure.
stuff. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, when they see Telecasters being used for heavy music, they're like, this isn't really the guitar for it, but, you know, we make it work.
It's funny because, you know, especially in Nashville, it's like Telly Town, and people kind of shit on you here if you have a humbucker in your telly. You know, it's like a thing, but like, for me, a Telecaster with a humbucker in the bridge is the best of both worlds, because if you want the clean, beautiful telly thing, it's in the neck anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why wouldn't you want to have both? You know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, that's why.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually, my telly has the exact same setup.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And then I did the same thing for the Balaguer as well, which...
You mind if I grab this one?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind.
These Balaguers are awesome, and Joe's like such a nice dude.
Yeah, so I mean, he knew that I play Telecasters, and so the body is kind of modeled
yeah.
Telecaster. I think it's actually a bow from Seosin. I think he designed, or maybe it's his signature model, but they never put this on the line, so this is kind of like a one-on-one.
Oh, like a
one-of-one, yeah.
yeah. Is this roasted maple, this neck?
You know, I don't even know.
It's beautiful. I love the access here for the truss rod. That's so convenient.
Yeah.
And then what Duncan is in here?
Again, I think that's something that Ryan kind of put in there, something to fit, so I don't even know.
Are you, like, switching? Are you pretty
yeah,
much...
Yeah, so this one I'm using for D standard, and then this one I'm using for drop C, and it's basically just kind of to not be playing the same guitar the whole
sure.
time, and just to have a quick guitar change.
Yeah, that's fun. What strings are you running?
So I got 50s on there, and then I have 48s on here. They're D'Addario's.
Yeah, these things are sick, dude. I love the belly scoop and everything.
Yeah, got to send a shout out to Joe.
Yeah, right on. Cool, and then these oranges, is this something you've been running for a long
yeah,
time?
Yeah, yeah.
The Rockerverbs are great, man.
I love my Rockerverb. And I do prefer the two-channel. I know some people are just,
oh, really?
Just very strict on. Yeah, I just love, you know, Ryan's not very much of a clean tone guy himself. He likes to have a little bit of the breakup, which I do also. I roll back on the volume knob, but I do enjoy having that clean, and especially with some of the effects. I've had the head for about 20 years or so, and it's been my main head. Actually, funny enough, we're in Nashville right now. There's a little plaque on here for the case. The case was made here in Nashville, the live-in case, and it has a 1-800 number. So when we were doing production rehearsals, Noah was like, hey, let's call this number and see if it's still active. And it wasn't. It's not an active number anymore.
Oh, damn. What company is it?
Well, I think it's just called Affordable Cases.
Huh.
Affordable Cases, but they were based in Nashville because I had to get that shipped out. And in fact, this case probably is heavier than the actual head.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. And then this was just mainly aesthetic, to be honest. We kind of just did it on production rehearsals just to have the backup just in case anything
yeah, sure.
happens. And then...
With the tube amp, you...
Yeah, and then, because Ryan's got the double rig going mm-hmm. on, so I'm like, all right, well, at least I kind
of
look like I'm
yeah.
scaled at
a
his
lot
level.
Of firepower if you're running both of those suckers.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
a
yeah.
spare, just a spare. Hey, at least it's not a dummy cab, right? It could have a dummy cab up here.
And then I guess that's probably just a standard orange 412.
Yeah, this is a rental.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't have an orange cab myself at home. I just have like an old Hughes and Kettner.
Sure.
And whatever. This doesn't have casters on it.
Old guy,
I need my casters though to wheel around.
I have one of those Mesa like oversized 412s, and it didn't come with casters. I screwed some casters right on that sucker because it's like
that's what I did.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I went to Home Depot and I'm like, I'm getting around the easy way.
At our age, no one in your band is like, oh, let me help you with that. Like, that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Luckily, we got some techs on the store, so this
playing a big one.
Nice. It's nice.
Yeah, this is great, dude. So where did you guys do production rehearsals for this?
We have a studio in Vernon, California, which is just south of Los Angeles. And then when we actually did the production rehearsals with the whole crew, we did them in Burbank. Can't remember the name of the spot now.
But you're, so you're living in LA now, right?
I'm just south of LA. Okay, I'm in Orange County. Yeah, okay. Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Now four of the five guys are all Los Angeles based.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Do you miss Philly?
Yeah. There's things about it that I miss.
I love Philadelphia. I know it's funny, you know, like I grew up in New York, so people are.
No,
it's
I
like
love
a rivalry,
it.
But I've always loved Philly.
Yeah. There's pros and cons to anywhere you're going to go, you know? Yeah. So it's all about what you make of the place where you live. That's kind of always been my attitude. And I live in actually kind of like a conservative town in Southern California. I live in Huntington Beach, and that kind of gets a bad rep. But it's all about what you make of it,
totally.
Right? So, I mean, I love my park there. I have Huntington Central Park. I have the Bolsa Chica Wetlands. I got the beach 1 mile away. I can do a bike ride when I want, you know.
Yeah, when Adam was living out there, I was always like, oh, you got it made, dude.
He lived one light over, literally one light over. And then our friend Scott Sprigg lived another light over. So we had this like triangle of friendship where we would just
so
meet
fun.
Up. And, yeah.
Right on, man. Yeah, how exciting. All right, well, let's dive a little bit deeper into your pedals. But can I hear just your bass tone?
Sure.
That's coming just like that. Gotcha. Okay. Can we hear some core sounds, like some?
Yeah, for sure. So, I was telling you a little bit before about this this Old Blood Reflector. So it's essentially a chorus pedal, but it has a little bit of modulation features. I got this from Colin from TDF, my old bandmate, and so I use that a little bit on Apathy regularly.
Yeah, it's subtle. I like it.
Yeah, very, very subtle, but I mean, it's really all you need. And then, you know, the rest of the stuff is just, it's pretty standard. I got a flanger. When we get down to a little bit more of like the back off, there's that ambient echo and then the chorus. So it just gives it a little bit more than just a standard breaking up,
right.
You know? Yeah, and the delays, you know, just pretty standard. I have two different delays, and more or less they do the same thing, but I the tap tempo, I kind of have it set for one song for one and another for the other.
Well, that's convenient.
I don't really blend them ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Very, very basic.
Oh, that's cool. In the Joshua, you can run a tap, one of those little MXR boxes. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Well, you can also hold it down and then do the tap that way, which is how I was doing it at rehearsals. And then it was a little bit kind of funky.
Yeah.
Well, what's really funky about it is that if you tap while you're holding something out, it does like a little bit. Like, you can't really hear it right now, but sometimes it'll do like a weird. It's not. Oh, there
like
it is.
Like
yeah. Exactly. So I just had to get used to doing it before I turn it on,
right, and so
the tap makes it a little bit easier. Because I think when you hold it down, it kind of automatically turns it on. I was like, oh shit.
Oh man, that would get confusing real quick.
Yeah.
So how are you using the Wazacraft chorus as opposed to the Reflector?
The Reflector I'm only really using honestly on just the one part of the song, of one song of the set, and it's more for like the modulation than the chorus. And then the chorus is when I'm doing some more clean bass stuff,
just
to give the clean tone a little bit something extra, you know.
I love those Wazacraft pedals, but to be honest, I've played with a couple of them, and I can't always discern the difference between like the
just
old
courses.
Circuit and the new circuit or whatever, because it's got like the two different options, right? So I think it has like the original CE2 circuit, and then the other circuit is like a updated thing, I think, right? Is that what those are? But yeah, I can't always hear the difference. but my ears are also very shot, so
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference either. You're talking about the switch here?
Yeah.
These guys? I mean, we could test it out.
Yeah, let's say this.
So this is on clean, but let's see. I mean, this one's a little bit more subtle, I guess.
Maybe, like a hair? Oh, okay.
I mean, that's almost like a tremolo effect there. So I just keep it, I don't mess with it.
Yeah.
I just found where I'm happy with it and just keep it in the same spot.
Yeah, and then these Empress tremolos are great.
This was a gift. from a buddy of mine for my birthday, Aaron. So thank you for
thanks, Aaron.
For that pedal.
Yeah.
I just had a standard, like one of those Boss tremolos. Again, I don't do anything super fancy, so yeah. it does what it does. But this one is nice because it's got the tap as yeah. well. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to find it with a knob is pretty annoying.
It
yeah,
is. Yeah. It is.
Well, right on. Thanks for walking us through this. It's great
yeah,
to see you.
Great to see you too.
We're gonna
thanks
go talk
again.
To Noah and have a great show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
What strings are you running?
These are D'Addario NYXLs.
And the D'Addario NYXL.
But they're D'Addario strings and I've been using those for forever and I love them.
D'Addario?
D'Addario strings as well.
D'Addario's.
Right.
D'Addario. I've been using D'Addario.
I'm a fan of D'Addario's.
Started using these D'Addario's.
I like the D'Addario NYXLs.
These are D'Addario and I got the NYXLs on here.
All right, last we are here with Mr. LA himself. We got Noah. Yes. What is up, bud?
Hi, how are you? Hey, dude, a big fan.
Thank
it's
you.
Like actually super exciting to be here.
You're telling
behind
us, dude.
Behind the camera is Chris as well. It's like really, yeah. You know, a dream come true to be doing this.
Dude, I mean, if you weren't aware, Chris and I are huge fans. This is great. This
me
is super
too,
great.
Yes.
Well, look at this beautiful thing.
Yes, this is the Duff signature bass. Courtesy of Mr. Michael Schultz from the Fender Guitar Company. If you know, you know. Thank you, Michael. I've loved you for a long time. Yeah, let's go. It's cool. It's heavy.
Yeah, that shakes ass on stage. That's great.
Yes. These, for those of you who don't know, this little hip shot thing that comes standard on these things is a lifesaver playing with some of these heavy bands with alternate tuning.
Sure.
Because while the other guys are tuning or switching guitars,
bing,
bonk, done. I'm click away.
Love that. Have you made any modifications to it?
I like the Leo Kwan Bad A. I don't know if you're allowed to swear on the internet.
Badass
bad
bridge.
Badass yeah. bridges.
So what was the idea with
like
these? It's more mass, right? So
it's a little more mass. It's probably hard to see on this. Check one out for yourself. The height screws don't come out at all. So with this particular group, and we can fight about this in the comments, muting okay. while playing bass with high gain is completely acceptable. I know there are people who don't do it and insist upon it, but you're wrong. And so when putting, like, yeah. just like palm mute. It's just like you don't, sure. like, poke your hand on
yeah.
it. So
rip it up.
Yeah. And they are more high mass. I don't, personally, I run, like, a compressor and stuff. So the, like, sustain thing. On the instrument itself, clean into an amplifier might sustain longer. I would never know because I never do that.
Right. And speaking of amplifiers, you got this double Sonic Assault here,
yes.
just ripping heads off.
Dude, I love it. We're running 280, 200s, the Mark III version of it. I have had a couple of the Mark II 80, Orange 80 200s. These are specifically for this tour. Just to, it's very difficult right now in Los Angeles to service amplifiers and it's very expensive.
Wow.
And there's a waiting list. So these are rentals right now. But then my sort of main cabinet setup here I've had for 25 years or something like that.
So is that two 15s?
That's a 15 on top and a 410 on the bottom.
Ooh.
The correct way to do it. We can fight about that in the comments also.
Oh yeah, that's gonna stir up the pot, buddy.
This 410 has never, it's been on the road with a couple bands I've played with and has never set foot in a road case. And it's
you can tell.
It's completely fine.
It looks great.
There's no reason to put those in a road case.
And then is this one over here rented? Is
yeah, that, the 810 is, which I love a whole lot.
Yeah.
But that's rented. Both of them are set about the same. I've found that the Orange 810 is a tiny bit darker.
Really?
Than this setup with the 15 and the 410.
See, that would be counterintuitive.
That's what it seems like it might be my, it might be that 410 cabinet is just, you know, blowing up.
It could it's just like coming apart a little bit.
And that's what's adding to its special
sound. I think I would prefer this setup because you got the best of both worlds. You got the 15 and the 10s.
Yeah.
And it's not a whole ass refrigerator that you have to move.
It's not a whole refrigerator that I help move sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys, you're on a big tour.
I help sometimes.
Yeah. So in addition to this guy, you got a jazz bass.
Yeah, let's check that out, too. These are both made in Mexico in Ensenada, a fine factory. If you can
they
go
do
down.
Good work. Got several of their guitars.
Dude. Yes. Big, as I'm sure you saw with the other guys, big Fender fans in this band. This is a Mexico 70s jazz bass from, I think, about 2017 or something like that.
I love that even on the Mexican version, they put the binding on the neck and the block inlays.
That's block inlays, binding on the neck. They don't do that anymore. I think they stopped in the 20s.
It looks so slick.
16, 17 something. This also has a badass bridge on it.
It is pretty badass.
And Mr. Ryan Premack, the guitarist from Poison the Well, put these quarter pounders in for me.
Ryan's very involved with everyone's pickup choices.
He really is. This kind of almost sounds exactly the same as the other one. But I know, I like the other one. Put a hip shot on this one, but I just kind of forgot before we went on tour.
Is this for certain songs or?
I'll play this. No, I don't switch during the show ever. And then I'll pull this out every once in a while if I just like
feel like it.
Want to change it up. We're in like Lawrence, Kansas, and I'm like, I'm gonna play this bass.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's awesome. I love it a whole lot.
Sounds really good.
We celebrate pretty much everything Uncle Leo ever started.
Yeah.
You know?
And you could play all the forbidden riffs you want, right?
Play all the forbidden riffs we want. We were talking about that off camera. We can't go past that. We're gonna get sued right away.
Oh, yeah. Don't go riffs. Any longer than that. All right, well, let's talk pedals. You don't have a ton of stuff, but you have some really fun stuff. I'm personally a huge fan of the Dark Glass.
Dude, me too.
Anything. I think it just sounds so good.
So probably, yeah. So right now, the like crux and, you know, realistically, from an audience perspective on a live thing, you're hearing a lot of the Ultra Vintage, the first one, not the Ultra Vintage 2. This is the older one with no cab simulator or anything like that. And so.
You got plenty of cabs going on.
I got plenty of cabs. There's a lot of real cabinet happening.
Yeah.
But the Ultra 2, the Ultra Vintage Ultra is probably over half of what you're hearing from the audience, going direct to sound.
So that's going right to front of house.
It's going right to the front of house, right from that pedal.
I mean, it's funny how like that company's not that old, but it's almost kind of becoming what you expect a bass to sound like in heavy music.
Because so many metal and hardcore
dudes are using. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and it's like there's like this sort of I hate to put it down as a like mid scoop kind of thing, but also I refuse to use terms like growl and punch because
it's squishy and spongy,
it's
dude.
It's squishy and spongy, but it's like the like there is a like high thing happening on these that are especially when we're getting onto like a,
it sounds so good for corded stuff.
Really good for corded stuff, and then there's a lot of chug happening, and we tuned a C for some stuff, so having that
like drop C, right?
Yes, drop C. I think the guitars will tune to C standard for a song or two, but I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But with you know, the high thing that pokes through on this for, I mean, 90% of what I'm doing is, you know, so that, like, you know, ability to be like present in the sound without calling it punchy or
stuff. It's not. I wouldn't say punchy
or growl.
But yeah, but like the opposite of December stuff is pretty chuggy.
There's a lot of chugging.
There's a lot of chugging going on. So
And it's like I've been really fortunate. I've been with a band for about a year and a half, and so getting into dive into like the whole record and, you know, talking to them about, because I mean I heard that record when I was
shit. Yeah,
I'm pretty old. Everybody, we don't look it. We don't look it, but. We remember.
I'm fucking 67, guys. I'm about to retire.
71.
So. Yeah.
I thought the Misfits looked young.
I thought Danzig looked great on this last one.
Great. You know, we're the same. We're peers.
Yeah. Well, right on. What's this little? The little MXR is a comp.
This
right?
is just the regular. This is the tiny MXR comp. It is always on. I have it running after the legendary Boss. ODB3
comment section, look out,
which is also the correct place to have it on your pedal board, not before. And then a Boss Chromatic TU tuner that is
kind of need one
is, you know, they make other tuners.
They do.
Some people use them.
You've had it forever.
I've had that forever. I have, you know, I'll probably get a Wazacraft one when I lose this one somewhere, just because, you know, it's black.
Yeah.
So nice. Guess.
Yeah, maybe you could see the screen a little bit better too, huh?
If it's black?
Yeah.
No, there's no reason. Yeah, don't be upset, Mr. Boss. But yes.
It's Mr. Just Boss like, is going to be so mad.
He's going to, like, I just ruined it.
Well, hell myself. Yeah, Noah. It's great to Dude, see you guys I, out getting this done.
I appreciate.
Fucking great.
Dude, thank you.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, thanks guys for watching. Stay tuned for more rig rundowns, video lessons, all that fun stuff.